more sort of reason. So I took the liberty of combining few of them in order as to start the discussion. And I also trying to provoke people of science, trying to sign an objective. I would say something which probably is not particularly essential on the subject, which will allow people to snap on me and then lighten the discussion up. So one of the questions, and I think Philip's talk was part of it, was is there a sign of growing consensus in quantum foundations? So is the field narrowing at all, or narrowing at all to something, which I think is very close to the question, what will make us think that we actually understand the quantum mechanics? I'm trying to be provocative. I would say that Philip's talk makes me understand better what I like about my view on quantum mechanics, but I doubt that it will convince the skeptics, particularly because it takes probabilistic structure as one of the givens of the theory, which I think is abhorrent in the eyes of at least some people. Yeah? I hope so. And then, immediately related question is what areas of foundation of quantum theory are the dead ends, and of course I suggest to ignore the answer given to me by one well-known physicist that, I mean, the entire area of dead ends. So those are two standard foundational questions, and immediate one, which is experimental, may earn us some butter on bread or crumbles or matzo or whatever. Are we seeing any possible experimental signatures? Not just experiments that will allow us to fix whether the neutrinos do have mass or they don't, because there are already 10 theories to explain everything, but the ones which do have direct foundational input. So, who would like to counter any provocations? Hover?
Well, I put one of those questions up. So I clearly I was looking for an answer.
Which one?
Is there any consensus building? The one which I put up.
My personal view is that I doubt it. I mean, at least it depends on the scale, and slightly reminds Europe before the First World War. So within the camps, and there are several. My feeling is that within the camps there is a consensus building on sort of a joint camp position. But I'm not sure that the gaps are bridgeable. Very much depend on what you like and what you dislike. Because I like probabilistic aspects and I like uncertainty, so I'm very happy that with particular formalization of the probabilistic aspect and the complementarity, you can get something. But Nick?
I think that there is a consensus being built about what you can't have in the sense of, you're showing that certain ideas are incompatible, and I think those are getting into people's heads. Now, the actual, what really is there, it seems to me depends on what subfield you work in. So, quantum information people have a different view than cosmologists, have a different view than quantum gravity people. I mean, there's very different interpretations and very different biases that go into those fields. And so I think there probably is some, I don't know, I hesitate to say that. I think that the real answer is that there is a growing recognition that certain things are untenable together, and your talk is a good example showing some of that. But I don't necessarily think that the whole community is coalescing around one, although there may be around some certain subtopics.
Well, maybe if we're moving towards two armed camps who are about to start a world war, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's more than two.
Oh yeah, it's more than two, of course.
Oh, well then it's not so analogous to Europe.
What sort of consensus were you looking for?
Clearly we're not moving towards consensus, but I guess my question is, are we moving at all in that direction? Are we eliminating Yeah, like, is the field getting narrower in any sense? And should we be hoping that it would be?
And?
Well, I think maybe asking for a consensus is a bad idea in the end. Because why is it that we want to understand quantum mechanics better? For me personally, this is because we would like to get a new theory in the end. We would like to maybe combine it with gravity and so on. So in the end, of course, we're just trying to do the most groundwork. For example, as an example, you could take Einstein and the equivalence of inertial and gravitational mass. It's a foundational problem. Why are they equal? And of course, at that time, you can just say, oh, they are equal, period. There's nothing to think about here. But then, of course, you think the problem is very delicate, right? And after a while, when you think hard about it, you realize that maybe space-time is curved and so on. So I think foundation is about that. You pick on something which you find annoying. You go your direction, and if everything goes right after 1,000 years, maybe in foundations you have a new theory, and that's the goal. So, and
then the consensus is established naturally because the proponents of all other viewpoints just died out.
Yes. This is the people who...
Yeah. You managed to produce something new, workable, and satisfactory, so you feel that you understand what's going on, as opposed to just being able to perform calculation.
Isn't the ultimate goal to, like, one day think about something and find a problem and then realize, oh, we have a new way of understanding that makes a prediction, we can go do an experiment that allows us to test, and that would lead to a consensus. So, I mean, maybe the question is, what should lead people into a consensus on some of the issues? Would it be an experiment or a successful merger of quantum mechanics and general relativity?
I doubt that consensus is possible.
I think that when it comes to actual interpretations, there are some questions that we're answering and some possible answers that are given that are just different interpretations of the same experimental data. You will find no experiment that distinguishes them unless we find new physics. But I think that there are certain ways of looking at quantum theory and also relativity that provide, that can be distinguished meta-scientifically in the sense of, and meta-empirically. So we say, what kind of theories does this way of thinking lead us to? And then we can test those theories. So we can test them mathematically, but also empirically later on. And this is why I think that certain approaches, even if they are completely equivalent at the non-relativistic or even LHC level, even if they're completely equivalent there, they can still give us insight into how to generalize and how to move forward beyond what we have.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, is that, you know, then one approach will generalize to something that will lead to a particular prediction that is verified by experiment.
But that's, no, there's an essentially different step that I'm putting in here, which is we may not be able to distinguish between these two interpretations by experiment now, or even in the near future, or even after the new theories come out. But what I'm saying is that in the meantime, we still have a meta-scientific way of judging these things by what kind of fruit they bear in terms of other theories.
But isn't basically just putting a pretty face on, I feel like it, I like this, and I
no, not at all.
Underneath of the last point, where it may be not able even in the future to distinguish an experiment. So it's not like a way of generating new theories which provide us different predictions. Different
well, I'm thinking of quantum gravity specifically.
What? What did you say?
I said I'm thinking of quantum gravity specifically. But you know, there may be others. I don't know what's going to be beyond quantum gravity. We always seem to, you know, think we're at the end. But I think that there are outside of the foundations community, there are very few interpretations out there, and it seems like people don't really think about certain things like, oh, you know, mixed states. And there's a lot of room for different interpretations to guide these people in different directions.
Can I ask a question that Nick will have an opinion on? And maybe other people have an opinion on. So therefore it might actually be a worthwhile question. Is there any point considering infinities? Is there any point worrying about effects that appear in infinite theories, but we don't appear in finite theories.
Like intrinsically mixed states.
Yes.
Or just treat infinities as an artifact or price.
Yeah, so I guess the question is quantum information, you know, the way it's done, a good guide to how physics as a whole should be? In other words, that these things that come out when you have infinities, that's nonsense that, you know, we won't have to worry about if we formulate things correctly.
Are you talking
about
you?
Yes.
So what?
Or just actual large numbers?
No, not large numbers. No, I mean things that, yeah, I suppose it is. I mean, somebody who actually works like algebraic quantum field theory should probably comment on this as well, because that's exactly the.
You're talking about Vincent's talk, right?
Well,
as an example.
But yeah, and your reaction to it, which seems
right.
To be captured, like one proposal which says, yeah, quantum information where everything you can treat as being finite. Is the right way to approach all quantum problems.
Fair enough.
These
phenomena should not be considered physically significant. And the reason is that if you take an operational approach, then every experiment you do has some finite precision. So let's say you calculate a table of probabilities. You've got a bunch of preparations, you've got a bunch of measurements, you calculate probabilities. For getting particular outcomes, even certain preparations, all those probabilities are finite precision. Any model you want to create that will explain that experimental statistics can be finite. You might require a large dimensional limit space to do it, but there will always be some finite dimension that will achieve it. And so you'll never have any experimental data that you require the infinite dimensional limit space to explain. And so it seems to me any phenomena, any mathematical phenomena you find for infinite dimensional limit spaces alone probably shouldn't have any significance in experiments.
It's all about theory also, right? You now have an infinite dimensional theory, right, which is very simple, and now you have to come up with your finite dimensional version, and it looks very ad hoc and very strange. I mean, so it's not just about reproducing experiments, right? You like to have some neat
Yeah, and continuous system might be neater than discrete, and then the infinities which arise from them is the price that we are paying for the neat.
But he said physically significant. The question was, should we consider them at all? And Rob's answer was, we should not consider them physically significant. So I think that it's a slightly different question. Like there's a broader answer that says we do need to consider them mathematically. But then Rob's answer, I personally agree with, that they're not going to have physical problems.
Right. I mean, we do smooth approximation to discrete things all the time for convenience in maths.
That's right.
But we don't necessarily think of that as necessarily having a significance. So this is the question. But I mean, I think someone should speak out on the other side.
No, I just wanted to point out an irony there, in the sense that Whiteman and these people in the 60s and later precisely started this kind of program because of infinities. For instance, the operator, the vector field at a space time point makes no sense. So if you have to smear it, and then there's the whole thing with the algebra of operations, and in the mind of Hayek's book, for instance, it's really, for him, it's an operational way of doing physics, because you have algebras of operators which represent what you can do in a lab in a finite region of space-time and things like that.
But if I allow myself to be personally covered, I would say that even the smeared thing, object, which is now an operator, it's an operator, maybe unbounded operator, on infinite dimensional Hilbert space. And what is physically meaningful is a finite dimensional approximation to this smeared object. So we have to chop it off a little bit more, even after the smearing.
Yeah.
So,
another
comment on Rob? I mean, I think people have the opposite sort of intuition in quantum field theory, right? There you have this unmanageable, uncoupling infinite Hilbert spaces and so on, nothing makes sense. But people prefer that over a regularization where you sort of have a lattice and so on. Nobody takes that seriously. So why is that? That would sort of be your operational finite dimensional Hilbert space. And that's, of course, because it's so ad hoc, right? Why would you regularize in this way and you break all these kind of symmetries, etc.? So these are beauty input, right?
I think, like, if you want to believe in diffeomorphism of variance, and you believe that is really fundamental, then it's hard to reconcile that with discreteness in any way. And so then you're set to deal with the infinities. But the point is that there are ways to deal with the infinities and still make sense of physical predictions. So.
So if I try to impersonate you, then maybe it's fair to say that, okay, we have infinities, so renormalize them away in any consistent shape form, and that's done. And the only problem made it is hard to do the renormalization.
I don't want to say that that's right. I don't want to commit myself to that view, but certain people take that view. Especially people who believe in sort of non-perturbative renormalization of flow.
If we're talking about the symmetries, then naturally about time symmetry, and that brings me to the last question on the paper, which is as old as the linear equation itself, which is what is the meaning of this equation, and does it make sense to attribute the wave function to the universe? Or just what we mean, those who think it does make sense, what do we mean by this wave function? So one viewpoint was that it's just a two pictorial way of putting things, that we collect few degrees of freedom, which is sort of essential for determining the universe's macro behavior, but they do not actually describe everything else in it, and you know, like radius of the universe, few other parameters, that's all. In a sense, the rest of the matter is collapses the wave function to whatever it is. But is it consistent? So, in what way you would like to think about timeless equation that describes what does it describe? I'm trying to provoke you, and you're not ready.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's certainly something to be said that it, I don't like that science. You know, I think there's so many things about many of the theories that point to that sort of property of reality, timelessness. I mean, but you know, the will of the wind equation as a functioning theory, as you know, solving the equation to come up with solutions and you tell us something about reality, I mean that's a completely different issue. And I don't think, you know, at the moment it's leading anywhere towards a coherent picture of reality.
Yeah, would say Felix's program or somebody else's program make us happy and we understand quantum mechanics. So you know, we live in an ideal world, we understand everything. So what then will be the wave function? But I don't know.
But the wave function of the universe is more than we can ever know. It's too much. I mean, I'm happy with the wave function of the universe, but we can only ever know things about the visible universe, which is a subset. So that's all we can ever know. But presumably there are observers beyond our horizon that don't share the same horizon as us. And if we're going to have a complete theory, I don't mean complete in the Einstein or arguments, but if we have it, a theory that covers both observers, then we need to have a wave function which extends beyond our beyond the horizon. So it's more than what we need, but I think it's essential to have something like that.
Yes?
That's also one of the problems, right? Because the wave function is a function of three geometries. So it's even hard to think about horizons and the visible universe, right? It's a very weird object to start with, right? There's no space-time in it, there's no horizons, and...
Yeah, but it's not necessarily a bad thing, because the horizon is, again, it's not directly refers to time slice, but to the entire evolution, and if our theory is reasonably complete, then the entire timeless bulk universe is described from this somehow from this, can be extracted from this wave function, including the horizon.
Well, that's the question how you do it. Because the only thing it tells you is that give me a free geometry, I'll give you a complex number. That's it.
But presumably our experience, our observations would require a kind of projection of this wave function. I mean, if you want to look at out what we can actually observe, say a scale parameter, if you have some idea of a scale parameter, then that would mean that we're looking at a projection of this thing. I don't want to say collapse, but and then our what we experience of the Wheeler-Wheeler equation is quite different from the Wheeler-Wheeler equation for the whole universe. It may not even be that it's an eigenstate of energy. Isn't that right? I mean, it could be this projection of.
Well, it can't be that means different from the full solution, and it can't be that eigenstate.
Well, then, Rob, I think, the comment.
Makes a lot of sense to talk about whether wave functions represent our knowledge of the system or not. knowledge. But it, is there a danger of going too far and having an anthropocentric view? And I, for me, having an anthropocentric view of physics is, seems to me quite dangerous. But we want, I personally want to get away from the idea that humans play a role in physics. And is there a danger, like someone has to hold the knowledge?
Well,
can you have something that's in the case?
So I would say if you can have your reality, the claim is just that to the wave function is not a representation of that reality. If you endorse a hidden variable interpretation, then you would say the reality, you know, resides in the hidden variables. So, you know, you have your objectivity there, and the claim is that we shouldn't seek our objectivity in the wave function.
And also, there's no, there's not necessarily going to throw a centric, it just means that the second paper takes itself. The wave function doesn't necessarily mean it's anthropocentric, it just means that this is a probability theory. That would be like saying, oh, probability theory is anthropocentric, and I don't like it because I think there's nothing special about human beings, but that's confusing the problem. So say, well, it is about probability. Probability theory is about information, and to talk about information, you should refer to an agent, or it could be a computer, it could be
a fictitious agent.
It could be a, yeah, it doesn't need to be a human being.
Right, but it's
some sort of radio.
But if your theory
finds the information in action in the world. But there's nothing necessarily for the center of that, just means that that's what information is about.
I think the problem is the power of the person.
Let's do it in order. Okay, that's right. I was just going to say, I mean, but I think that's a bit of a disanalogy, because in classical probability theory, everybody knows that you're talking about probabilities of things that are in the world, whereas in quantum Bayesian interpretation, the probabilities are all you have. And so you're supposed to build everything out of the probabilities. And you're not allowed to talk about, you know, what anything else that might be there, even if you claim to believe that it is.
And now coming to projection probabilities.
Just a small question. Is it obvious for everybody here in this room, especially people who hold an epistemic view, that quantum theory is universal, that we can make such wild extrapolations like the wave function of the universe? Is it obvious for everybody? Or everybody agrees with that? Mm. Without any objection?
No.
Obviously, I say let's try and see who has the correct.
Do we have a comment here?
Yes.
Yeah, please. Because the probability in quantum mechanics is something. A quantum system being measured by something. So it is ambiguous in some sense, because we need to define what is the measurement. Because measurement system in quantum mechanics is also composed of atoms, some electrons. So the theory does not define what is exactly element. So when we're talking about probability, we need to first define how to obtain the measurement outcome.
Well, that's a good point. Because if you have a fictitious agent outside the universe, I mean, what kind of measuring apparatus is it easy to determine the state or check?
Good.
I just want to make the comment that, you know, in the reconstruction I showed, even though I drew measurements with outcomes, well, first of all, the very derivation works only because you've got the notion of a measurement and an outcome. Without that, you wouldn't have a quantum formalism at all from this perspective. Then the question is, well, what is a measurement and how should we think of that? And should we think of the outcome as only being an outcome when it's sort of conceptualized by someone, or whether it's actually a knowledge of an agent, when it becomes the property, so to speak, of an agent? That's not a view. I don't think that view is necessary at all. Certainly in derivation, you could simply say that there are processes in nature which actualize definite, classical definite outcomes, whatever they are. There are processes in nature, objective processes. You may think of this as objective reduction. There are processes which move you from potentiality to actuality, which generate these outcomes. That's actually all you need for the derivation of the quantum formalism. The pictures I drew with measurements and so on is that that's how we normally think about probing the quantum world, so it's natural for us to try to derive the formalism that way. But when you come to the level of ontology, thinking, well, how should I actually think about what's going on in the first few seconds of the universe when there were people with measurement devices, then I think you have to have an ontology. And certainly my view is that there are processes of actualization going on all the time. Unitarity only reflects a certain kind of process, but there are measurement events, there are objective collapse events going on all the time, right from the very beginning. And those objective collapse events are, by definition, as the formalism shows, they're irreversible. So that marks time, that actually marks the flow of time. These are the sort of primitive thoughts that I have on the subject. So from my point of view, that you wouldn't have pure unitarity. You wouldn't be able to do what typically is done in thought experiments, where you keep on saying, well, I've got the cat, now I've got the cat, and I've got Schrodinger in a bigger box, and that's unitary. I push it outwards and say, this bigger and bigger system is still evolving unitarity, unitarily.
Because we have the sentence, I've got the cat, which is not the unitary process, so you
can have
the answer.
Also, in general, confident the pure reconstruction approach. So of course, that's a complementary way of working, and you can get a clear sense of what the structure of quantum mechanics is. But maybe Howard and the Bohmian theory, the collapse theories, and so on, there's a sense that, well, there's a danger with too much emphasis on operationalism. So, operationalism hasn't had a clean track record, right? There's actually blocked physics. So, well, one of the favorite examples is, of course, Boltzmann and his the introduction or thinking of thermodynamics in terms of statistics of particles, right? The first reaction to that was that Boltzmann, have you seen a particle? And of course, he hadn't seen one of the small particles. It was all nonsense, the whole thing. So, in this operational way of thinking, isn't there a lack of, can you really think creatively in that if you want to sort of build a new picture of reality, like Boltzmann was doing, for example? Then also I would like to say that the ontological view is of course not a clean track record either. There's a phlogiston, for example. There's also Einstein, right, who spent his last long time for the unified field theory, and of course, the high road of success during the 20th century was operational. Don't think about ontology.
Rob, you wanted to comment on Philip or on Hans?
It was on a bit earlier than that. So it just occurred to me, maybe it's opposed to Eric's comment. So first, Howard, not everybody who believes in an epistemic interpretation of the wave function is willing to jettison all notions of reality.
I didn't mean to imply that. But I mentioned the quantum Bayesian canon.
And so I was just thinking that if you take a sort of a weaker form of claim that the status of quantum theory is the same as the status of classical probability theory, we ought to think of it as rules for how to make rational inferences in the face of new information. Chris Fuchs would argue this sort of thing. You could have that view consistent with there being some reality or perhaps some other notion. But if you take that view, then asking the question, should we apply quantum theory to the universe, should have the same sort of answer as should we apply classical probability theory to the universe. And personally, I don't see any reason why the answer to that question should be no. Sure, we can apply classical probability theory to the universe. We have some limited information about it. We might learn something, update our information.
But
why should we?
But you have to be careful with that. You have to be careful with that because in classical probability theory, you while you stated that it's just updating rules of inference, with classical probability, you have, at worst, this convenient fiction that there really is a reality underlying it. And so that's the bias when people say classical probability theory. So while I think what you're saying is correct, I think you got to be careful because people like Howard go, yeah, that's right. Even though I don't think what I heard about classical probability theory in your explanation really is what most people think of when they think classical probability theory. They think something really is there, we just don't know what it is. As opposed to making inferences and updating what we believe will happen later. Those are different approaches.
I guess my problem is not so much with the function being I mean, how subjective degrees of belief, but really with an operational interpretation of quantum mechanics. If you want to interpret it as being probabilities or possible outcomes or measurements that can form the system, then that doesn't seem to make sense when you're watching all the universities. Who's performing these measurements? That's what you're asking.
You mean, if you want to be self-reference, because sitting here, I can look out at the rest of the universe and other degrees of freedom.
Yeah, but then that wave function would be the wave function that a subsystem of the universe assigns to the rest of the universe. It wouldn't be the wave function of the whole universe, including the subsystem. You would always need to have some subsystem which is as well with logic to say, which is outside of the quantum solution.
And maybe the cosmologists are happy with that, to have a wave function
perhaps.
For that part of the universe.
So, right, so that would be an interesting question. Would the cosmologists be happy with that? Would they be happy with saying that the wave function of the universe doesn't really apply to the whole universe? It is a description of a subsystem of the universe about the rest of the universe. Would that be fine? Would that be a coherent
I think cosmology is so coarse grained over the finer details that you can get out of solar system without any problem. Yeah, and consider the rest of the universe, and I don't think that would change the description too much at all. So I don't see that as a problem.
Well, it seems that the final thing is to reach consensus, even if it's consensus about how don't reach. So maybe it's a good time to break the overall discussion.